And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 556 of your pew Bible, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind: the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. The message of the kingdom is that God has invited man to draw near and to get well. That we need to understand that message before we can go out and tell people anything about God. We need to understand God's message before we can evangelize. God wants to heal people. And most of the people that God wants to heal are not in the hospital, but they are sick. The sickness is sin, and it is contagious. It is very contagious. And the problem with sin sickness is that it camouflages itself to look like something else. Most people you talk to won't admit that sin is wrecking their lives. If you talk to them, they'll tell you that they just didn't get the breaks, or that nobody really understands them, or that somebody did them wrong somewhere. And some or all that may be true, but it's beside the point. What did you allow sin to come into your life and do? Few folks will confess sin like David did in Psalm number 51, where he said to God in verse 3, "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." And then in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." It takes most folks a long time to get to that point where they confess their sins. And to be truthful, it took David a year suffering under the hand of God before he confessed his sin. But the message that we must take forth is that the sickness is deadly, but there is a cure. There is a cure. That is the message of the church to the world. We can't heal you, but we can take you to get the cure. We can show you where we got well. We can introduce you to our doctor. And by the way, that's the first step. We can't promote a remedy to anybody if we haven't taken it ourselves. You can't help anybody if you're still contagious with sin itself. A few years back, a woman came to the church a few times. She never joined, but she sat through a few messages. And one day she came and asked me to speak to her teenage son that she could do nothing with and that was always getting in trouble. Now, as a preacher, I'm always ready to go evangelize. But the Spirit prompted me to ask her one question before I went with her. I asked her if she believed in Jesus. And to my astonishment, she said no. She really didn't believe that God was good since there was so much evil in the world. And I told her, "Then I can't help you with your son. I won't let you take me into your home to talk to your son that I don't know to tell him about a Jesus that you don't know. It doesn't work that way. That's not how faith works. Faith is not just a hocus-pocus thing you wave your hands over and somebody gets well. Faith is something that you share. Faith goes from heart to heart. You get your heart right with God, and I'll go with you to talk to your son. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you won't go. But once we take the cure, then we can tell others about the healing that we found in Jesus." Just like that woman at the well in John chapter 4. When Jesus finished talking to her, she ran back to her village crying, "Come see a man. Come see a man that told me everything that I've ever done. Isn't this the Christ?" Jesus said to his disciples in our text today that there was an urgent need for workers to go out and spread the good news of the kingdom. Those workers are still needed today, and the need is still urgent. But the question is, why this urgency? Why is it so important for to get the word of the kingdom out? Well, the answer is in the text. So let us turn to the text to learn why the Lord urgently needs us to get the word of the kingdom out to the people. Looking again at verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." We must go out with the good news of the kingdom, because in the kingdom there is healing. In the kingdom there is healing. Jesus introduced himself to the people by healing their diseases. The healing was a sign of God's power. The healing was a sign of God's compassion. And the healing was a symbol of kingdom benefits. It was just a symbol. But the healing was not the sole message of the kingdom. In fact, the healing was not the main message of the kingdom. The physical healing was just a symbol of the spiritual healing, which was the purpose of the kingdom call in the first place. The preaching of the gospel was the purpose of the ministry of Jesus. And the message of the gospel was that the kingdom was the place where people would be able to get right with God. The kingdom was the place where you were able to come and get right with God. The kingdom was a place where the spirit and the soul of man could get fed by God. And that was the good news. That's what gospel means. That was the good news of the kingdom. The ability to draw near to God and get healed on the inside was the good news of the kingdom. And that's still good news today, because that's still true. The healing of the body was just a side benefit, just an overflow of the grace of God. The purpose was to heal your soul and your spirit. Jesus presents that kingdom of God as a place to get healed of all of your diseases, especially the disease called sin. Now, most people think that sin is a disease that their neighbor or their enemy has. Most people don't think that they need to take the remedy. But Jesus knows better. He wants us to take the cure ourselves and go out and tell the world about the healing that's in the kingdom. All you have to do is turn on the news any day of the week, and you will discover that there's much sickness in the world in which we live today. Great sickness, great sin. And in the kingdom called America, this sickness is built into our constitution. It, again, is camouflaged. It looked like a right, it looked like something good, but it's a great sickness, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. But in the kingdom of God, there is healing. There is a remedy. And we must go out with the good news of the kingdom, because in the kingdom, God has provided that great healing. But let's look at the text again to see what else Jesus says about these people. In verse 36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them." We must go out with the good news of the kingdom, because in the kingdom there is compassion. In the kingdom there is compassion. The compassion of God is on full display in the kingdom. God used the character of Jesus as the foundation of the call of the kingdom. The fact that Jesus came with compassion and love was what God decided to build his kingdom call around. Jesus was the model of kingdom compassion. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes about this later on in Philippians chapter 2, where he tells about modeling yourself after Jesus. Looking at verse 1, it says, Paul says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Make Jesus your model. Jesus defined kingdom membership as being willing to have compassion. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and 7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. That's what Jesus said is the a sign of membership of the kingdom, if you're able to do these things. And God's requirements are defined the very same way in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the very same definitions of what God wants us to do is laid out. In fact, one of the earliest prophets, the prophet Micah, wrote in Micah 6 and 8, and he says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" That verse is a summary of all that God requires of man. Do right, have mercy on your fellow man, and walk humbly before God. Everything that God demands is wrapped up in those three things. And actually, it happens in reverse order. First, you have to acknowledge God. Only when we begin to consider the holiness of God do we even think about doing right in our own lives. We don't even consider. Until we consider God, we don't think about doing right. We don't wake up every morning thinking about living righteously. We wake up thinking about how we're going to make it, by hook or by crook. It's only after we come to God that we kind of throw out that crook a little bit. Only when we decide to walk humbly before God do we understand the need to have mercy on our fellow man. If we don't acknowledge God, then it seems foolish to have mercy. Mercy seems foolish. What was that the P.T. Barnum said? Never give a sucker an even break. And I heard someone else say, when you find a fool, bump his head. That is the wisdom of the world. Mercy doesn't come up until you consider how merciful God has been to you. When you think about that, then you're inclined to show a little mercy. If you know you haven't been all that righteous and that God has been merciful to you, when you consider that, then you're able to show a little mercy. And Jesus explained that in the kingdom, mercy begets mercy. But we must go out with the good news of the kingdom, because in the kingdom, there is compassion. But let's look at the text again. Jesus wasn't finished. He said in that verse, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered." We must go out with the good news of the kingdom, because in the kingdom there is rest. In the kingdom there is rest. There is rest in the kingdom because the kingdom has what you need. The kingdom has rest for your soul. The people that Jesus observed were physically tired and worn out from their travels to try to get to where Jesus was doing that healing. But Jesus saw more than their physical weariness. He saw their spiritual confusion. The people of his day, just like the people of this day, were easily led astray by false doctrine and miraculous events. And Jesus brought true healing in the miracles that he performed, and he also brought them the true doctrine of God. Jesus was aware of their deep spiritual needs. They had been abused by the false doctrine of the Pharisees and those who were supposed to be their leaders. The Pharisees had laid the burden of law keeping on the people, and they had not kept the law themselves. Listen as Jesus condemned what they were doing to the people in Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers.'" The leaders were abusing the people. The people were weary from their search for spiritual, for physical healing, and they were unaware of the fact that they had came to the feet of the one who could heal their souls and their spirit. That healing occurs for those who are part of the kingdom of God. God had promised through the psalmist that he would give rest to the faithful. Psalm 116, verse 7 says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." And Jesus offered the invitation to all of us to come and receive that kingdom rest. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We must go out with the good news of the kingdom, because in the kingdom there is rest. In the kingdom there is rest. But look at the text again as the Lord continues to consider these people. He He says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. We must go out with the good news of the kingdom because in the kingdom there is guidance. In the kingdom there is guidance. Jesus saw that the people had no direction. They just went searching for help wherever they thought they might find it. God had declared in the Old Testament that the leaders should guide the people and not abuse them. The leaders should act as shepherds and guide the people in the right way. Now, a shepherd's job is to guide the sheep away from danger and to a place where the sheep can find nourishment and rest. And the Pharisees could not guide the people away from danger because they were the danger. What they offered the people was not food at all. And back in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, God prophesied against these false shepherds and promised that he himself would one day lead his people Israel because of the wickedness of their leaders. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1, the Lord speaks. Ezekiel speaks of what the Lord said to him. And it says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus said the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field where they were scattered. In verse 9, he says, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus said the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep, and seek them out. That was God's promise to Israel. He said he would be their shepherd. He would be their protector. He would be the one that would search and find them and bring them in. And so Jesus declared in John chapter 10, verse 7, that he was the fulfillment of God's promise to the people of Israel. John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We don't have to worry about getting lost if the Lord is our shepherd. We don't have to worry about being devoured by evil if the Lord is our shepherd. We don't have to worry about being hungry or thirsty if the Lord is our shepherd. With Jesus as our shepherd and guide, we're in good hands indeed. So we must go out with the good news of the kingdom because in the kingdom there is divine guidance. And so now we return to the question with which we started. Why is it so important that we go forth with the good news of the kingdom? Well, we must go forth with the news because the news is so good. The news is too good to keep to ourselves. We need to go out with the good news of the kingdom because in the kingdom there is healing. Healing for your soul, healing for your body, healing for your life. We need to go out with the good news of the kingdom because in the kingdom there is compassion. There is food for the hungry, water for the thirsty, health for the sick, strength for the weak, comfort for the lonely, mercy for the sinful, and grace for the humble. In the kingdom, there is compassion. We need to go out with the good news of the kingdom because in the kingdom, there is rest. Rest from the anxieties of life. Rest from the burdens of sin. Rest from the fear of death. Rest from the failures of the past. Rest from the despairs about the future. Jesus gives us rest from all these things and replaces our fear with love, our despair with hope, and our anxiety with joy. Praise his name. We need to go out with the good news of the kingdom, because in the kingdom, there is guidance. Divine guidance from the good shepherd. Guidance from the good shepherd who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the world. Guidance from the good shepherd who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Guidance from the good shepherd who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. Guidance from the good shepherd who said, I am the light of the world. He who comes to me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We need to go out and tell the world that they need to come out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. We need to go forth and declare the good news of the kingdom. But before we can go for him, we must come to him. We need to come to him and get ready to go out. We need to come to him and get dressed for the battle. We need to come to him in prayer and get ready to do the work of the kingdom. We need to go out because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So don't you want to go to work for the Lord? Let me tell you how to do that. It's prayer time right now in the church. In a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. If you want to go out for the kingdom, first you have to receive the king. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You become part of the kingdom by receiving Jesus. The kingdom of God is actually a family. To join God's family, you must accept God's Son. For the Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. As the congregation stands and the choir comes and sings for us, we need now to prepare our hearts to receive the kingdom. And once you become a child of God, you're automatically in the kingdom. You inherit the kingdom as soon as you receive Jesus. To receive Jesus, what it means to be converted. God does all the work. All you have to do is come to him in repentance and faith and allow God to change your attitudes and your ways and fill your heart with his attitude and his ways. If you're already in the kingdom of God, you want to learn how to walk in the greatness that Jesus spoke of last week. How to walk humbly, how to walk lovingly, how to walk graciously before God. All you have to do is come to this altar and open your heart to God and let him make you and mold you to be more like Jesus. If that's your case, when the call is given, you come and open your heart to your Father. Or if you simply want to come and just thank God for allowing you to walk in his kingdom all the days of your life, for allowing you to walk as one of the least in the kingdom, but to go in and out and have pasture and get the fullness of life that Jesus spoke of. If you want to thank God for that, when the call is given, you come and thank God from the bottom of your heart. Sing quiet. Come to the altar of God.